we've spoken during the week about the ride guide, which was to be the video input from jockeys towards their rides for the weekend in conjunction with a wagering operator. Mark Van Gessler, our chief steward, joins me now. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Sean. How are you?
Good, thank you. Well, you had a busy week. You're in consultation as well with the Racing Victoria stewards, and this has been knocked on the head. Can you tell us why?
Look, principally, there's two reasons. The rules of racing require that firstly the stewards give consent for a rider to receive a pecuniary or other consideration in respect to providing information about a horse. And the second part of that rule requires the consent of the nominator for the rider to do so. So in those circumstances, the stewards having regard to the structure of the whole process, we say it's not really consistent with keeping the public confidence, the perception of the industry, dealing with matters like image and integrity of the sport. We feel that in the circumstances, having an association with a wagering operator, in our view, really impacts upon the image and perception of the sport. But also, it was the other aspect, Sean, with respect to the owners, was that both the Victorian and New South Wales branches of the Racehorse Owners Associations were opposed to the race guide service as well. So really, in that respect, it sort of failed on both grounds.
I suppose the funny thing is, Mark, and a lot of people tend to forget it, the owner is actually the basic employer, isn't he? Isn't he or she?
They are, and they're the ones that are paying the bills for the horses to be trained. They're paying the bills for the riders to ride the horses, and at the end of the day, that's where the riders are gaining their information from riding of the horses. So I guess that's the reason probably that the owners associations are not comfortable with the process, and hence they haven't provided their support to ride guide.
Mark, the Australian Jockeys Association Chief Des O'Keefe, he'll join me shortly. He's been quoted as saying that jockeys were furious with an about-face from racing bodies. And he said that officials had supported the concept, quote, at a number of meetings.
Sean, look, we are supportive in principle of the concept in respect to, the riders providing comments. And as we've discussed earlier this week on your show, that, they come on Sky Sports Radio and provide information. That the difference is that, as you indicated, that there's no pecuniary or payment when the riders do that. So that's the real difference. I have to disagree with this. There was no about face. That when we discussed the ride guide with Chris Simons in its infancy, we certainly weren't made aware that it was going to be on sold to a corporate bookmaker or a wagering operator. And if there was disclosure at that stage, I suspect that the stewards would have been paying very close attention to what was being said, but unfortunately that wasn't disclosed.
Mark, can you see it going ahead if they find a more palatable sponsor or supporter?
Look, if they get to a situation where there's an appetite from another industry representative or body that wants to support the platform, we would certainly give consideration to it. As I say, we're not there to get the whole project finished or finalised. We see that it's sort of the promotion of racing that they're trying to look at, and we're supportive of that, but it's got to be done to make the industry flourish rather than having sort of integrity issues that are at the back end of it.
So if, for example, they were to come back and say, we've got somebody who's behind healthy eating or live healthy or whatever, something that looks good for the image of it all, there'd probably be a go-ahead given?
Well, that could be the case, but once again, it would require, if the riders were to be paid for it, it would require the consent
of the owners,
of the stewards, and it would require the consent of the owners. And if the owners were satisfied that being on a different platform other than a wagering operator, well, then it may well be that we could review the matter.
Mark, do you have a concern with this? And I mentioned this the other day, I don't know whether it was to you or not, that it's got to be pre-recorded, obviously. And by the time it goes to air, a lot of things can alter. If a track down grades, if a couple of front runners come out, the pace and tempo of a race can change drastically, and that information can be well out of date.
Yeah, I agree, Sean. It could be, and as I said the other day, it could also be confusing to the people that are watching it and or listening to it. And that's, I guess, one of the issues that sort of facility faces, is that making sure that the information is current and up to date, and you know, that could be one aspect that could be confusing for people watching it.
So at this stage, it's we wouldn't say it's 100% dead in the water. If it's represented in a different way and everything is agreed to by all parties concerned, it could be a go-ahead situation?
Yeah, I'd never say never, Sean. We're always open to, you know, those sorts of things being pitched at us, and if the stewards are satisfied and the owners were satisfied as to the arrangement, well then, you know, it may well be, you know, down the track, there might be a situation where it can be accepted by the industry.
All right, Mark, appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
Mark Van Gestel, Chairman of Stewards here in New South Wales. Des O'Keefe is the Chief of the Australian Jockeys Association. Morning, Des.
Good morning, Sean. You've overstated my title slightly, but never mind.
Well, I pumped your tyres up, basically. That's what I've done.
Thank you.
Now, Mark Van Gestel saying that the basic stumbling blocks to Ride Guide appear to be support or approval by owners and a corporate bookmaker being involved. Is that how you see it?
I think the key one would be, or the key would be, the wagering operator being involved and that being an exclusive wagering operator being involved would seem to be two key issues. And the owners and the owner one and so on. Look, Jonathan Munns, who's the, you know, representative of TROA here in Victoria, raised that. But look, I don't see a great difference between listening to Hugh Bowman and Blake Shin discussing their chances for tomorrow on your program this morning in a very clear and direct manner, which is really informative for the punters, really informative for your listeners. I think that information is readily available through, you know, through Sky and through programs like yours. So, yeah, I don't quite join the dots there for the concern that's now being expressed on behalf of Connections.
I suppose the only issue is they're not getting an earn off, mate.
That's a fair point, and that's something that indirectly we need to address, and it gets back to the dealing with a wagering operator, and it gets back to exclusivity by Ladbrokes. But, Sean, I think the concept itself, and I think even the stewards agree, the concept and the content is the concept's really good. The content hasn't been of any concern. In fact, it's been very well received. You know, in a number of concessions made by the global media company who have the rights to Ride Guide, in a meeting we had here in Melbourne last Tuesday that Mark attended, a lot of concessions were made, and a lot of initial concerns that were voiced by the stewards were very, very easily resolved and addressed. There's just a couple of sticking points left, and we really look forward to re-engaging with Racing Victoria down here, and of course Racing New South Wales and Mark Van Gestel and Terry Bailey, and seeing if we can address those concerns, re-engage and reach a resolution so that it can be back up and running in whatever format.
Des, I mentioned to Mark Van Gestel, and the jockeys and trainers are the high-profile participants. The money trail always goes back to the pocket of the owner. Do you think the fact that the owners are sort of left out of this a little bit, that maybe why they get their nose out of joint and think, hang on a minute, we're the ones hitting our kick here every time?
I think it's the big debate that one day the industry in Australia will have regarding intellectual property and who actually owns what. Mm. I hear your comments regarding the owners paying up for the horse. Mm. Where does that leave what the trainers say about their horses? I suppose they've got a contract with the owner. Where does it leave the jockey in what they say? Where do the owners say, well, we're happy for the jockey to go on your program, we're happy for the jockey to, you know, do other media stuff, but we're not happy for the jockey to go on a wagering operator's website, or we're going to pick and choose where a jockey can comment about our horse. I think the return to the jockey seems to be the issue. Where's the intellectual property of it all sit? It's probably for people that are on a much smarter pay scale than I'm on to work that one through. It's probably a big issue that at some stage, and I think it might be now as good as any time to have a chat about it, so that we do all know where we stand and get some really strong, serious opinion on it.
You know, in the old days, it used to just be basically the radio and the newspapers where you'd read about the racing. But now you've got Twitter, you've got Facebook, you've got all sorts of things, websites. There's a whole raft of platforms to be broadcast on.
Well, it's a really moving world, and that's why we were genuinely really delighted. I know Chris Simons was delighted when Unscripted took over the rights for us from him. Because, look, Unscripted are a global media company that have clients like Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi and like people like that, and Andre Agassi, people like that, those high-profile international sports people and former sports people promoting their sport. What we wanted to do was try and absolutely continue to promote our industry. It ended up Ladbrokes taking those rights up. That's obviously caused a lot of angst. I'm not sure if the angst would have been the same had it been a retail, like where we go and do our supermarket shopping or whatever, it probably wouldn't have. Or whether it had been another wagering operator, I don't know. Mm. They're questions that probably can be asked. But it certainly caused a lot of interest, a lot of debate. I think it's positive. I think it's great that the jockeys are looking to do more to promote and provide information and really good information to pundits, where you can sit there and look at Hugh Bowman discussing, just as he might be doing on the radio, but discussing his upcoming rides for the weekend. It's great information that can only lead to increased turnover. At the end of the day, that's what keeps us going. No turnover, no owners, no jockeys, no radio.
I mentioned a moment ago to Mark Van Gestel that perhaps if a more palatable partnership arrangement were organised, it may get the go-ahead. Is that what you'll look at now?
Well, it's not for... I don't want to dodge that in any way, but it's not actually for us to make that call.
Yeah.
I think that's really for Unscripted and others to sit down again with the authorities and work through it. We'd obviously be a part of that and be very supportive of whatever outcome we can get that'll further promote our industry in a time of 2016 where, as you mentioned, there are so many different mediums and so many forms of engagement by people interested in our sport.
All right. Well, look, terrific to catch up with you, Des. As always, appreciate your time, and we'll just watch this space for Ride Guide.
Good on you, Sean. All the best.
Thanks, Des. Des O'Keefe joining us there from the Australian Jockeys Association. You look back at the season, you think, Winks, what a terrific effort. She won 7 races, $5.5 million. You look at the winniest horses for the season, though, and at 10 wins for the season, horse called Four Iron. You're saying, Four Iron? Where the hell's Four Iron from? Four Iron's from our Charleville way. And Four Iron picked up 10 wins, total $74,000. Second in the list was Wandoo Flyer from North Queensland, 8 wins and $130,000. Fastnet Flyer picked up 8 wins and Finky, 8 wins. Then in fifth spot, mind you, not on the prize money and quality of racing, but numerically, Winks on 7, Malaguera won 7, Wink and a Nod won 7, Clearly Innocent won 7, Vega Magic won 7, and another horse who's got a very interesting stable, mate, Arise Augustus 1-7. His trainer Terry Evans is with me. Morning, Terry.
Morning, Sean. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. That's a great effort. When you look, 7 wins in a season, I mean, I've just looked, that's a fun list when you look at it that way with the different horses, but that's a damn good effort by Arise Augustus.
Yeah, no, he's done really well for us. You know, we've had a lot of fun with him. It's been a great ride for us.
Now, he wasn't a deer horse.
No, we bought him at the Inglis Classic Sale, which we always go to Inglis as the buy. Most of the horses, it paid $25,000 for him.
Gee, what did you expect to go for? Did you think you'd pay more or not?
Well, we sort of have that sort of budget because we can't afford the bigger ones, but we sort of thought we'd have to go to $25,000 to buy him. We're quite happy. We had about half a dozen picked out, and we went for him. He was in early, so we got him first up.
He's just been a terrific horse to you. Did he always show this promise, or has he just been one of those that's kept developing?
No, he always showed us a bit of ability, but it took us a while to get him going. We were balloted out of races and tried to get his benchmark up and couldn't. And we put blinkers on him at one stage and he got a bit frightened because he saw the other horses coming in front of him and they sort of, he took a fright at it. And then we left him off for a while. And then once we put him on and did a few other gear changes, a different bit, and then we found him a goat and got him all up and going. Then he sort of, the penny dropped and he was off and away then.
Now, people might have thought, hang on, I've heard something a bit odd there. We found him a goat. I mean, we're not going to start playing the deliverance theme, but he's got a mate who's a goat.
He's a bit of a horse. He gets in there and he's always busy. He's always wandering up and down his box and he wants to get outside all the time. So I thought, we get him a little mate to be in the box with him every day and night. So it's worked out great. You know, the best of mates, they walk out doors with each other and they pick grass with each other, so they just follow each other all over the place.
Now, what's his goat mate's name?
No, that's, we just call him Flash because he looks so well. You know, he's got a nice big brown and white coat. And
where the hell did you get Flash from?
Actually, a lady over at Old Bar gave him to me almost 3 years ago now. So he was fairly small when we first got him, but he's a monster now.
Now, does he sleep in there with Arise Augustus?
Yeah, no, he's in there all day and night with him. Yeah, no, he stays in there with him. And we take him out for a walk and he comes out and just off his leash, he just wanders around himself, the goat.
Yeah. It keeps him company. It's like a weird marriage, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I just thought, you know, it does work, so we kept it and we've just done the same thing over and over every day with him.
Now, you see some funny things at racetracks. I'll never forget one day, someone had bought a little ugly little Shetland pony. There was a mate to the races, and this lady looked and said, "What race is it?" And you think, no, it's not. It's about 10 hands high. But you see that, and they can be the ugliest little thing ever, but it doesn't matter. They're the horses, mate. They settle them down and take them as travelling companions. You can't take Flash to the races.
No, well, we were asked to take him a couple of times. Ray Thomas thought we could take him when he did a bit of a story the other day, but we do take another pony with him every time we go. Yeah, so he's got another mate that comes with him.
I'd love to see Flash tied up in the stalls and see.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd go as well.
You see people go past. The guy backed out earlier on today. So how long Flash has been with him? What, for 3 years now in his box?
He's been with him for 3 years. Yeah.
Goodness me.
Yeah, it's all fun.
Well, the lovely thing about Arise Augustus, he can handle the good. He won the other day on the heavy at Randwick over the 1,000. He just gets through anything.
Yeah, well, I was surprised they said he couldn't handle a heavy track, and, you know, he's run on heavy tracks before, and obviously Ramwick's a lot better than some of the tracks that he's raced on, so I didn't think he had any drama. We thought he had a good chance to win, you know.
And I'll tell you what, Terry, he's been one of the most consistent horses around. He just brings home a check. I'm looking back through his form. I can't remember. I think the last time he didn't bring home a check was over a year ago.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think we've worked out he brings home 4,500 each start at the moment. That's his average, so, which is pretty good. Yeah, we'd like to have a few more like that.
Well, you've got seven up for the season. You haven't got long to go. Can you get another one out of him before the end of the season?
No, I've just taken him home for a few days and he's having a little bit of R&R. We're going to back him up on Saturday, but I thought it might be a bit quick. So he's just gone home for a couple of days and then he'll come back and then just go down the beach for a swim and a trot and canter and just try and keep him a bit fresh, and then we'll find another race for him next season.
Now, you're at Tuncurry. We see photos you post, and it's just absolutely magnificent. Your photos of you going out fishing and us jealous. And it looks magnificent there, and a great place to train horses.
Yeah, oh, it's terrific. And they've got a good committee and a lot of volunteers at Tuncurry, and they're supported by the Tuncurry Beach Bowling Club and a lot of other businesses. We're up at Beach Bums having breakfast, and they're in horses with us at Foster. And everyone's in the spirit of racing up here. It's just so good for the area. And all the sponsors get to the race day and big crowd. Like on Saturday, we had 2,500 people at a sort of Sky 2 meeting, you know.
Gee whiz.
Big turnover. It's just everyone loves the racetrack.
Well, that's just fantastic. How many have you got in work there at the moment?
Got 17 at the track.
Gee whiz.
Got a few mares and foals and yearlings and 2-year-olds at home. We've just got another 5 at the Breakers, rising 2-year-old. Rise Augustus' half-brother, he's just been broken in. A few others, yeah. No, everything's going good, and all the owners love it, and we keep them all updated. If they're in Sydney or Newcastle or Melbourne, wherever, they all get on Facebook and see their horse in the morning, and everything's working good for us so far, touch wood.
It's amazing. The social media is such a wonderful thing for owners in the state, isn't it?
It is. They get to see their horses every day. You know, even if they don't pat them, they can see them work and, you know, have a swim or whatever. It's a great thing.
All right. Well, look, good luck with Arise Augustus. 7 wins for the season, a fantastic effort. And it's nice to know Flash the Goat's been part of it, too.
He's a big part of it. Yeah.
He'd be pretty rap, Flash, to know that he's the strength behind the whole operation there.
He certainly is, Sean.
Terry, great to catch up, and good luck for next season.
All right. Thanks for calling, mate. Thank
Terry
you.
Evans there from Tuncurry, and that's a lovely story with Arise Augustus. Flash the Goat, he's a brown and white goat, and lucky, I don't think Flash has got any horns on him. You wouldn't want him with any on, but he's in the stall there with Arise Augustus 24 hours a day, and they're the best of buddies. It's just very funny stuff. You may look at your form guide today for the Mediataree and see Miss C. Baker claiming four. That's Chloe Baker, and I thought we'd find out a bit more about Chloe this morning. Hi, Chloe, how are you?
Hi, Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Now, we've noticed you've been riding for not all that long, but your first ride in a race back in April 25th, you got the money at Kempsey. That must have been an unbelievable thrill.
Yeah, it was fantastic, especially to get one for the boss first up. It was great.
Now, Chloe, tell us a little bit about yourself. Did you come from a racing family?
Actually, Mum was the first female jockey on the Mid-North Coast, so a little bit of racing background, yeah.
What was your mum's name?
Donna O'Neill.
Oh, right, okay. So she obviously rode for quite a while there. Did you always want to be a jock or not?
It was always on my mind, but I did a few other things before I sort of come to it, finished my uni degree and all that, and then decided to give it a whirl.
Holy smokes. Now, hang on. What uni degree did you finish?
Registered nursing.
And you decided, I don't want to go nursing. I'd rather nurse the horses, look after them.
Yep, that's right.
So how old were you when you decided to become an apprentice?
I started probably 12 months ago with my mind on it, so when I was about 23.
So I thought that when I spoke to you this morning, I thought you're not 16 or 17, you're a mature age apprentice kicking off.
Yeah.
So in between there, when you finished the uni degree, did you go working or were you working around stables?
I did track work for Wayne Wilkes while I was at uni and a bit for Jenny Graham also.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I finished my uni degree, I asked Wayne if he'd take me on as an apprentice.
And what was Mum's reaction along the way, all through, when you sort of thought I might become a jockey?
Oh, as long as I finished my uni degree, she was happy.
So the pressure went on, did it, from Mum?
Yeah.
So you kicked off. How long were you with Wayne before you had your first ride?
It took me probably about 6 months to get through my trials.
Yeah.
Yeah, but before that, so I've probably rode work for him for a couple of years now.
All right. Now tell us about the 25th of April at Kempsey, Skaboo. A heavy 10 that day, and Wayne led you on Skaboo. Take us through the race.
Oh, it was just great. He was ready to go from the get. I got in a beautiful... I drew not the best alley, but he was able to jump and get in a nice spot, and he just picked up the whole way, and by the corner, he'd left them all behind.
And away he went. Now, what did it feel like? When did it really register with you in that race that I'm going to win at my first ride in a race?
Probably at the 100. I was waiting for just a wall of horses to come past me. I had a very sore throat when I was finished, that was for sure.
What, from yelling?
From yelling at him. I was like, come on.
Keep going, don't stop now. That must have been an amazing thing. Was your mum there?
She was, yeah.
A few tears in the eyes?
Absolutely.
What about you?
Yeah.
You shook too, did you?
Absolutely.
You're allowed to do that when you ride your first winner, you know.
No, it was great. And the owners are actually people that I've known my whole life that I grew up with, so it was great to get one for them as well.
Oh, that must have been amazing. And I'll tell you what, I looked at, as Wayne mentioned this morning too, like your strike rate of earning, getting a check is phenomenal. You've only had about 20 rides in a race, but you keep bringing home checks.
Yeah, no, it's been going really good, so happy with that.
As a kid, did you ride ponies and so forth? Was racing always an interest, or was it one of those things later in life you decided to do?
Oh, I've been at Pony Club since I was 2 years old, and we've got Malcolm Fitzgerald who comes to our camps every year with his mechanical horse and gets all the kids on, so that was always one of my favourite things to do. But it's always been a background thing, just something I didn't quite think I could accomplish until sort of Wayne, and that gave me the confidence to say I could do it.
Chloe, you've almost done an apprenticeship before you started your apprenticeship.
Yeah, pretty much.
I reckon by the sounds of it, with the experience you've had. Well, we wish you all the best today. Four rides. Let's hope there's another couple of winners there. And good luck today. As I said, just hope you have a fantastic day.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chloe. Chloe Baker there, and she's apprenticed to Wayne Wilkes, and a very intelligent young lady too. Did a uni degree as a registered nurse, and at 23 decided to become an apprentice, and she's been going very well. We wish her all the best. Gary Portelli joining me now. Morning, Gary. How are you, mate?
Good, Sean. How are you?
Good, thank you. It's nice to see the young ones kicking off and riding well, isn't it?
Well, we need more of them, mate. It's good to see. We need some more apprentices in Sydney at the moment as well. We're running out of jockeys. Everyone's going overseas.
Yeah, too right. Well, it's interesting with Chloe, the young lady, then like 23 before she started, did a uni degree. And I was talking to Stephen King the other day. He's made his son finish year 12. He's riding work, but he's made him finish year 12.
It's always a worry when the jockey's smarter than the trainer, so that's you're in trouble.
You're in strife, aren't you, Gaz?
It wouldn't be too hard in my camp.
You just say to them, don't go asking any questions of me. Now, tomorrow, you get a couple of nice each way chances at Canterbury, I reckon, in race 6. Cosmic Cameo first up. Tell us about it.
The only worry for him, Sean, he's not really a first up horse, particularly going into a heavy track. Missed out on Warwick Farms race. He was probably in a better race on Wednesday, obviously a Wednesday grade race, but I just had a sixth sense that I thought that the Warwick Farm meeting wouldn't go ahead, so I threw him in the acceptances on Wednesday at 9 o'clock to just in case I had a plan B there, and have him in on Saturday. He needs to start off his prep, and so it's 1,100 metres at Canterbury, and let's say his first up record's not real flash. He usually takes a few runs to get fit.
Well, you said his second up record's probably better. He's had five goes for a win the second. He has been placed on a heavy.
Yeah, he's run a couple of big races at Randwick on heavy track, so if they can handle a heavy track at Randwick, they can handle a heavy track anywhere. And so he does handle it soft, but as I said, he's just a bit of a gross sort of a horse, and doesn't seem to matter how much work or barrier trialling I give him before his first up run. He just needs that run. So whilst we're obviously hoping he can turn that form around, you've got to keep that in mind when you're obviously sending him out.
Andrew Adkins on, you pull three off, so he comes in with 52. That's going to help a little bit.
Yeah, look, we're giving him every chance to make sure he runs well and he doesn't sort of, have a gut buster first up. I think last preparation, he had a pretty tough run first up on a wide gate at Warwick Farm, and it just sort of set the rest of the preparation back. He just didn't really come up like we were expecting, and I think that was just because he just had too hard a run first run back. And but he's drawn well, and he's, like I said, a lightweight should help him this time, so hopefully he starts off and he runs a good race. Like we obviously said, we're still hoping he can win for his connections. But, his form suggests he probably can't. And you'd reckon that we'd be looking for something second or third up where he'd have that race fitness under him.
Now, in race nine, you'd love every horse to be as honest as lot 3, 4, 1, wouldn't you? Just brings home a check pretty well every start.
Oh, she's been a great little horse to them. She started off sort of a bit wobbly, showed a lot of ability in the trials, and she led in both trials, and then she was weak in a race. So we just had to change it all around, and we started riding her back in 900-metre races at Newcastle, and then she worked out that she's got a massive finish on her if you just leave her alone early. And, she's worked it out. She's been very consistent without being anything superstar, but she's been very, very consistent and been a great lot of fun for the owners.
Isn't that funny what you just said, where here she was showing pace in 900-metre races and stopping, and you think, well, hang on, we'll do the exact opposite. And that's the key to it.
Sometimes it works, Some horses are just weak, no matter what you do. If you ride them back, they finish further back. But she was always showing ability, a lot of speed in the track work. And in the first couple of trials, like I said, she jumped and led. We thought we had a pretty smart filly, and we took her straight to town first up, and she just got run over at the 200-metre mark, and after being ridden up on the speed. And like I said, we had to change things because it just wasn't working. And lucky enough that we got a good result straight away, and we worked out early on in her life that she can come from behind, and she's run some amazing sectionals in some of the races when she's finished on from a long way back, and she handles a wet, so she's got to be a chance tomorrow.
Oh, just looking at that, she's had five goes the heavy, a win 2 seconds. Leicester Grace pulls two off, only 52 on her back. That's the lightest weight she's carted around for a hell of a long time.
My oath, and her last run was good. It was a good honest run, but just her racing patterns, the worry getting to the last, that's the only thing, the only negative I can find tomorrow is she's going to have to get back, and by the last race I'm just not sure how the track's going to be playing, so we'll know more than likely whether we're a chance or not leading into the race. And I suppose the punters will know as well, because it'll either be horses on pace or horses swooping late,
And as you see, you just got to work it out and play it by ear. It's in the lap of the gods, really, isn't it? What you do.
Exactly. With a horse like her, you can't change your tactics. So, if the back markers are no hope, then you're basically going round and hoping for the best. But or the inside, she's drawn two, so she's got to, you're hoping maybe, the inside's okay. There's all this very horse that come into a race on the day. It's not all facts and figures when it comes to wet tracks, that's for sure.
Yeah, now Monday, actually, which will be the pick of your two tomorrow of those two? The second horse, lot 3, 4, 1?
For sure, lot 3, 4, 1 is the better chance first up. I think he'll be better as we get into the prep.
All right, now Rebel Dane, you got down to trial Monday, ran fourth in the All Age back there on the 16th of April, ran some terrific races, wasn't beaten far in that prep in most of those races, was he?
Yeah, I think he's beaten, a couple of times in the Group 1s by less than two lengths and storming home with some pretty handy horses. And, just a couple of bad draws. You saw us had to ride him back a couple of steps further back than what we wanted to. Probably the Futurity was probably the race I think got away. We drew 10, I think, and we had to go right back to near last and got on the back of, I think it was Scissor Kick resuming, and he just didn't fire, and we were stuck behind him when the race got serious. By the time we got off his heels, the race was really over. But he flashed home and got into fourth spot, beating the length and a half. It was a huge run. But I think had he drawn a good gate that day and had that perfect run, he was there to win. But at that level, mate, you need all the luck you can get.
And he needs, as you say, he needs a bit of a clear run when you wind him up, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He never stops trying. He's been a great horse to his connections. He's won $1.7 million now for them. And I think he's, you know, this preparation, you don't like to say it because there's some nice horses around, but this preparation, I think physically he's come on. He's never been over 500 kilos to start a preparation off. He's 505 now. Previously, he's been racing at 480. So he's got a bit of bulk to him. He's just an absolute powerhouse. He looks absolutely sensational. So, you know, for what he's going to do, this preparation, he needs to improve. You know, there's some fantastic sprinters that we're going to be taking on. You know, I think Capitalist is going to be first up in the missile. We'll be taking him on and probably a few other friends there in the three-year-old ranks that are coming through. We've also then, possibly, depending on how he goes, we may have to take on Wink's second up. So, you know, he needs to improve. But, you know, when you're racing them sort of prize money, that sort of level, the prize money for second can be pretty good too. So, I think we picked up $500,000 for running second in the TJ Smith 2 years ago anyway. Yeah. So.
I just look at his record and you can say, all right, I remember him winning this and that, whatever. But I tell you what, like second in a TJ Smith, third in a missile, he's run fourth in a Doom in 10,000, won the shorts, second in the Premier. I'm just picking at random here. You know, second in the Australia Stakes, by gee, they're good races.
He's been a great horse to us, mate. You look back on this and take it, you know, at the moment you take it for granted because you've got a nice horse in your stable and you're just trying to make sure he turns up in the best of order. But when they're gone, these sort of horses, you look back on things, you think, geez, we had some good times with that horse, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he's been in Matacardos, and that Matacardo, the famous Matacardo, when 10 horses went across the line together, he finished fourth, beating the head. You know, he's given us some great times, and he's been, you know, a wonderful horse to train. He's had his couple of little problems that we've sorted out, and he's a rising 7-year-old stallion, and, you know, it's been a great effort by my staff as well. I've got to give the credit where it's due. These guys have really looked after him and made sure that he hasn't got too bully, and you know, the riders have looked after him, and it's been a team effort. And you know, it all comes to an end eventually. But you know, he's 7, and he looks like he's at his peak as far as physically looking. He looks like he's at his peak. So
he's only had 31 runs, so he hasn't been knocked about.
Yeah, exactly. When you get that level, there's only probably 4 runs, or maybe 5. You can get into them. You know, there's not that many group races around at that level. He's a highly rated horse, so you can't race him in handicaps. Not a big horse either, so he wouldn't carry big weights. So we've just got to basically aim at the big races. Mm. And you know, I'm sure that when all the stars align the right day or the right night, he'll pick up a good one for us again.
I'd love to have a heart rate monitor on you when he from the top of the straight in these races.
Mate, it's bad enough when you're watching track work in the morning, Sean. You know, you wonder why he can run faster than the others. You know, there's nothing really there that says what it is. It's just obviously something mechanical he's got that's better than most, you know. And it's awesome to watch him work in the morning.
Be lovely to be able to clone it, wouldn't it?
Man, I'm sure there's someone out there trying.
Too right. Well, good luck tomorrow, and good luck on Monday when he trials too. Let's hope all goes well for him, Gary.
Thanks, Sean.
Good on you, Gary Portelli there. And now it is 3-10, Sky Sports Radio. Simon Adelopoulos is joining us now from Racing and Sports, and he's got a few winners for us on the weekend. Morning, Simon.
Morning, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. What have you found for us?
Yeah, look, interesting meeting at Canterbury. We can find a few winners. Kick off early in the day, race 3, with a very promising galloper from the Gabri Engelbrecht stable, Kenny Yesen. He makes his return on Saturday. Winner of 2 of his 5 starts to this point. He's certainly displayed above average ability, appears well placed on best form. He won well first up last preparation before having his autumn campaign cut short after pulling up lame in the Eskimo Prince Stakes. Since spelled and really liked the way he's come back in 2 trials this time in. He was ridden cold in his latest before really finding the line late and appears spot on for his return. He's unbeaten previously first up, and the in-form Glenn Schofield links the board. The inside draw could prove a bit sticky, but do expect Dean Arnell to set a decent tempo out in front, which should allow Canny Essert to work home into the finish. Always a query with horses resuming on a testing surface, but he appears forward enough to sprint well fresh, and do expect his class to carry him a long way on Saturday. Race 3, number 6, Canny Essert.
All righty. From there, we move on to
Race 6, Cozzy, looking at Cheeky Babe from the David Pfeiffer stable. Handy filly. She returned in great order at this course and distance last start and appears well-placed to return to the winner's stall on Saturday. She's only lightly raced and has placed in 5 of her 6 attempts, with her only failure coming at a second start behind subsequent Group 1 winner Japanese May. Comes in a Saturday's race on the fresh side, but has since trialled well in the lead-up, and while yet to be tried on a heavy surface, I think she gives the impression she will handle it. Early on in her career, she won a trial on a heavy nine track at Rose Hill, and while only a trial, she looked to travel well in the going, so I don't think it will be a concern on Saturday. She has won second up previously, and is yet to miss the money in two attempts at Canterbury. I think the biggest plus for her on Saturday is certainly the pace angle, as while highly geared and La Chevelle come out, there's still decent speed engaged and should allow Cheeky Babe to work home over the top of them. From the inside draw, she may be able to sell a bit closer to the speed as well, which should further aid her chances. Tommy Berry sticks aboard, and I do expect her to be very hard to beat. Race 6, number 13, Cheeky Babe.
Okay, and is there a third one?
Yeah, looking at race 8 with the Chris Waller-trained Avanarko. Not often you can go wrong siding with the Waller-Bowman combination, and hence more than happy to stick with him on Saturday. A distinct mull of consistency this time in. He's continued to raise the bar and appears well-placed dropping back in trip on Saturday. With 21 days between runs, he should be fresh enough to sprint well while he has the fitness edge on his side in what could prove testing conditions. In five attempts at Canterbury, he's only missed the money once and has placed in four of six attempts over this trip. From the inside draw, he looks to receive all the favours. I think if he's able to hold his form, he looks to set a decent standard for his rivals. Hugh Bowman links back aboard. He's placed in three of four attempts and overall strikes at 24% with the Chris Waller stables. Do have to respect the informed power line. I think the big watch fresh on the team Snowden-trained Typhoon Jolly. She's certainly more than capable when right. Just a big watch on the market for her, but happy to lean with the Chris Waller-trained galloper. Race 8, number 5, Avanarko.
All right, so your best are race 3, number 6, Kenny Essent. Race 6, number 13, Cheeky Babe. Race 8, number 5, Avanarko, which should well and truly see Chris Waller through the $30 million mark over the weekend.
Yeah, certainly. Hopefully for Chris that does come out. Oh, for us as well, it happens on Saturday.
Yep, terrific. Good on you, Simon. Have a ripper weekend.
Yeah, it should be good, Cozzy. All the best. Cheers.
Thanks, Simon. Simon Denopoulos there, racing and sports.